This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. It is a, it's a Thursday morning here. I'm still a day behind. I don't know why that is. Beautiful start to your day. Maybe a little bit, it's in the 50s out there right now. And shaping up to be another nice one before the severe weather comes in. Even the national media people, I was watching a national weather forecaster on CBS a few minutes ago in the top of the hour break, and they were talking about the possibility of severe weather hitting Missouri
Then
the southeast tomorrow and into Saturday.
So I looked it up, and it looks like EF1 tornado wind speed started around 86 miles per hour and go up. I think the window goes until about 110, and then it would be upgraded to an EF2. So
great.
If we're talking about 70 mile per hour winds, I mean, we're 16 mile per hour lower than an EF1 tornado.
The possibility of that anyway, of gusts up to 70 miles an hour, they said. So watch out. Batten down the hatches. A lot of people in the roofing business will be paying close attention to the storm as it moves through, I'm sure, because that's the kind of thing that can tear up shingles on your roof. And if you got any dead trees hanging around, you may want to call Hanson's Tree Service today.
We just had our entire roof done at the end of last year, because remember, we had a big hailstorm.
Yeah.
I think it was last May, and we are still waiting to get our siding done. So good thing we didn't do that, because a number of people who just did their siding and their roofs in our neighborhood could be looking at doing that again.
My friend told me that his wife just got her car back after the insurance claim on that hailstorm from last year. Like, it took them that long to get the car in and get it taken care of. And it cost $20,000 to repair that car. He was stunned that it wasn't just total.
How expensive was that car to begin with?
It was a fairly new car, even though they had bought it used. But it just kept, like, after the initial estimate, it just kept getting added on to, and then it ended up being close to $20,000.
Oh my gosh!
Get all the dents out of the vehicle. Just amazing what happened during that storm. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk to Jim Talent here, as we always do on a Thursday morning. We'll get to him here in just about 10 minutes or so. And here's the thing. The government may shut down tomorrow night. And because Democrats like Chuck Schumer won't vote for the same bill they voted for back in November when Joe Biden was president. That's it. A few minor changes, but it's basically still a Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden budget, and they won't do it just because Orange Man bad. At least that's what strikes me. We'll get Jim Talent's take on it and the possible fallout from all of that. Dennis Hancock joins us. He is, of course, currently a St. Louis County councilman, and he has announced that he's going to run for county executive. That news sort of broke over the weekend. He's been out of town for a few days. He promised to come on this morning and talk to us about that. We'll get to him at the bottom of the hour. So be sure and stay tuned for all of that. And we'll get to that for you here before long. By the way, just a quick note, you can still get tickets to that Brian Kilmeade event. It is sponsored by Bob and Tammy Kershaw with the Retirement Advisory Group. We appreciate that. He's coming to town a week from Saturday. There are some VIP tickets still available where you get together with Brian, the people he's brought in for the show. Mark, Annie, and I will be over there as well. And then we'll all get to hang out on Saturday night, the 22nd, at the factory. So go to 971talk.com, and you can see, you'll see the event right there on the main page, and you can grab your tickets right now. All right, Carl, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
You guys, if you tell us when you apply, hi, I'm trying to get into the United States on a student visa, I am a big supporter of Hamas, a murderous, barbaric group that kidnaps children, that rapes teenage girls. If you told us all these things when you applied for a visa, we would deny your visa. I hope we would.
Yeah. Marco Rubio there schooling a reporter who tried to act like sending this guy to immigration court was some sort of a violation of free speech. Had nothing to do with that.
They're not doing a good job. We're going to move the Department of Education. We're going to move education into the states.
Major cuts in the Department of Education. And one thing to take note of here, the Department of Education has never educated a single student. We'll see what happens next.
These are, you know, the scariest times in my lifetime. That's all. He is now trying to end what the founding fathers were pretty smart about, creating a form of government where there were checks and balances.
Yeah, they can't check him yet. That's Bernie's biggest fear. It's the scariest time in a socialist's life is having Donald Trump, a capitalist businessman, in charge of the federal government.
I know what his goal is. No tax for anybody who makes less than $150,000 a year. That's his goal. And that's what I'm working for.
You know who he's talking to there? That's of course, the Secretary of Lutnick there. You know who he's talking to? Chances are you. Think about that. I mean, if you make $100,000 a year, you're in the top 10% of wage earners. If you make $200,000 a year, you're probably in the top 1% of wage earners in this country, I would imagine. So if you're cutting off taxes below $150,000, the majority of Americans would not be paying income taxes anymore if Donald Trump could pull that off. I had never heard that before. I knew he wanted to cut taxes on tips and overtime and things like that. I had not heard this one before, but I thought it was pretty notable because if you listen, I heard Laura Ingraham say this last night. I think it's a good point. The media will walk around every day, as I heard Gayle King say on CBS this morning, and tell you the sky is falling. The Chicken Littles everywhere will tell you the sky is falling. And the moral to that story is it wasn't. And now you've got the same thing with the media feeding. It's a feeding frenzy trying to tell you how horrible tariffs are and how horrible it's impacting the market. And none of them want to tell you the truth because it doesn't serve their purpose. Listen to Howard Lutnick here. Go to the full cut on 14, Carl, please.
Who is more important, the people who sell stuff or the people who buy stuff? So we are the buyer of everybody's commodities, products, goods and services. Everything comes from us, right? Let them pay a membership fee. We all understand that model. Let them pay. How about we, you and I, and every single person we know pay less? How about no tax on tips? How about no tax on overtime? How about no Social Security? How about all those things? These are the kind of thoughts that will change America. I know what his goal is. No tax for anybody who makes less than $150,000 a year. That's his goal. That's what I'm working for.
Yeah, that's Howard Lutnick, the Commerce Secretary. And it's possible, that could happen.
I wouldn't support that, actually.
We don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem.
But I think, I actually don't agree with that. I think people should be paying taxes. I believe in maybe paying fewer taxes, but I just think that there's this mindset sometimes of if you make a certain amount, you should be penalized for it. If you're a successful business owner, you're somehow wrong or you should be penalized for it. So I understand these higher tax brackets based on your income, but I can't get behind this whole notion of let's just not tax anyone if they make under $150,000.
See, this would satisfy some of the leftists because they would look at it and say, okay, well, we're still going to be taxing the richest Americans. I could see them getting behind the idea a little bit because of that. But I'm with you, Kim. I have always been a proponent of the flat tax. The flat tax makes the most sense. I mean, if you make $100, you pay 10%. If you make $100 million, you pay 10%. The guy making $100 million still paying
way more.
A lot more, mm-hmm. even though it's only 10% of whatever it is they're making. The whole progressive idea of increasing a sliding scale is punishment for success. And we shouldn't be punishing success in this country. So I don't know what that ends up looking like. It'd probably never get through Congress. But regardless, I thought that was interesting. I hadn't heard that. All right, coming up, we'll get to former Senator Jim Talent. See what he thinks about the possibility, here we go again, of the government shutting down tomorrow.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
We'll be right back.
Chuck Schumer just came to the floor and said that they're willing to shut down the government because Senate Republicans didn't work with them on a CR. Now, remind you, what a CR means is a continuing resolution. It means it's the same CR that they voted for in September when Biden was in office, the same CR that they voted for in December when Biden was in office, and now that Trump's in office, they're saying they're willing to shut down the government. I can't understand what they're doing. They can't even make sense themselves. How do you not support the same level of spending that they supported from the last president to this president, other than the just pure hatred of Trump?
All right. We were a little premature on our Jim Talent intro there just because we had him on the phone and then the line cut off for some reason. So I apologize for that. That was current Senator Mark Wayne Mullen talking there about this temper tantrum being thrown by Chuck Schumer on the floor yesterday, right? I mean, talking about the fact that, of course, he's mad that the Republicans passed a continuing resolution that is his continuing resolution. And this is the same one that was passed by the Democrats under Joe Biden last fall with a few reductions in outlays. Go to cut 7 for us, Carl, please.
Funding the government should be a bipartisan effort, but Republicans chose a partisan path, drafting their continuing resolution without any input from congressional Democrats. Because of that, Republicans do not have the votes in the Senate to invoke cloture on the House CR. Our caucus is unified on a clean April 11th CR that will keep the government open and give Congress time to negotiate bipartisan legislation that can pass.
Yeah, here's kind of the message. Here's kind of what you need to understand. The Democrats are never going to willingly agree to cut a single dime from federal government spending. That's what it comes down to. That's why the reconciliation bill is so important. That we have to have this reconciliation bill because the Democrats will never agree that shrinking the size of government is a good thing. It's why they hate Elon Musk. It's why they want to put all the blame on Elon Musk. You heard Chuck Schumer say it there. We want a short four-week, continuing resolution. We're ready to. I can't even do a good Chuck Schumer. We're ready to vote on that.
But do you really think that they'll be able to negotiate and come to some sort of an agreement in 4 weeks? I don't have confidence that that's going to change anything. That really what they're doing, and they've been doing this for some time, is it's kicking the can down the road yet again. And it's frustrating for me just feeling like they just... I get it. It's hard. No one wants to compromise. I wouldn't want to if I were a member of Congress. It's just, it's frustrating. And, doesn't this bill also allocate, was it $6 billion more for our military?
I think so.
I think I saw.
How could you vote against that?
Well, you'd think.
But it's the same budget minus just a few ways they've moved some numbers around to move some money from one area to another. But other than that, it's basically the same. And, the Republicans didn't get Democrat input on it because it's the Democrats' CR. And they're just trying to keep things rolling. Now here, I think, is one observation I would make. And I've said this before, and I get a little bit of pushback here. I'll get a message here, I'm sure, an email or two this morning from somebody who knows somebody who's one of the government employees who might not get a paycheck for a week or two if the government shuts down. But for the most part, you and I are not going to notice if the federal government shuts down tomorrow night. Because the way the federal government spending is set up, most important jobs continue. And it's not like the lights go off in every government agency in America. That's just not what happens. Mm-hmm. Nothing happens to the military. Nothing happens to the FBI. Nothing happens to all of these key roles. So maybe it's an opportunity to see what the really vital jobs are in our federal government and understand to a greater extent why we need to eliminate a big chunk of the wasteful spending that goes on in our government. And I'm sure if it's your job on the line, you don't consider it wasteful. Mm-hmm. But it's obvious that there are tons of jobs where very little is getting accomplished.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. This is a partial government shutdown. And you're right. I think a lot of people won't feel any sort of an impact from this. I do, though, empathize with people who won't get their paychecks because it's not like mortgage is going to be like, oh, well, you know what? It's okay. Fine. Just pay late. Like if you're waiting on that paycheck, that is stressful. They do get back pay, but you're still having to wait however many weeks to actually get it in the mail
account. I would agree with that. The government will not go shut down very long, will not be shut down very long, but we need to understand what's happening here. You won't even notice it. And then they'll come to some sort of an agreement because they have to keep it's in Trump's best interest to keep the government going so that he can continue to transform the United States government from what it was into what it needs to be, like a more efficient run situation, like a business, which is what has scared the bejeebies out of Bernie Sanders. He does not ever want government to operate like a business because then you get rid of waste and inefficiency. All right. Hopefully we'll catch up with Jim Talent, and he is doing okay. Up next, we'll talk to Dennis Hancock, County Councilman running for St. Louis County Executive. Stay tuned. All right, Monday, we told you about the breaking news from over the weekend regarding the County Executive's race in St. Louis County, and that is that somebody new is entering that race, and that would be current County Councilman Dennis Hancock. We've got him on the phone this morning. Dennis, welcome back. You're back in town now, huh?
I am, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I saw that that story break this weekend, during the GOP get-together over here for Lincoln-Reagan Day's event. And what made you make this decision?
Well, you know, for the last 2 years, I've been sitting on the county council, and I've been watching up close and personal what Dr. Page has and hasn't been doing as a county executive. And it's just time for us to make a change and take the county back to a time and a place where things were done. We were filling potholes. We were plowing snow in subdivisions. We were making sure that our county was safe. And we've just gotten away from what I call just competent government. And I think it's time. It's not very exciting. It's not very sexy, but that's what people, I think, expect for their tax dollars.
You know,
and it's time for us to get back to that.
If I lived in St. Louis County, obviously you would have my vote. I support you. My concern would be that we've seen this change in St. Louis County where some of the areas were red and they're kind of going more purple. Some of them even gone full on blue at this point. Do you think St. Louis County will ever elect a conservative, or do you think it's going to be someone who's more, you know, center or far left like Sam Page?
Well, I think what it's going to take is a combination of all of the above. I think that one thing that I've found in talking to people over the years is that they just want their government to get out of their way. They want it to be there when they need it to do things like plow the streets and fix potholes, but they don't want it to be involved in every aspect of their daily lives. And I think that what we're seeing is from Dr. Page is that it's just a it's constantly trying to figure out how to, get more tax dollars for doing less work.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that people want to go in that direction anymore. And I think, it's going to take a concerted effort to not only hold on to the Republican votes, but then to supplement that with disaffected Democrats, conservative Democrats, people that were like my family when I was growing up. My family were all, my relatives were all Democrats, but they were conservatives. And so I think that, the party has left a lot of those people behind. And so I think they're looking for an alternative. And I plan to provide that alternative for them.
And Sam Page doesn't get along with the majority of Democrats he has on the council now. So certainly there are people in his own party out there who've lost confidence in his leadership.
Well, that's exactly right, Mark. I think that what a great example of that was week before last when he had his press conference about Proposition B, and there were four of us from the council who were in the room at the time, and we got up together, and there's two Democrat women from North County and two Republican men from South and West County, and we're all singing from the same page in the hymnal that this is Proposition B is what we need in St. Louis County. And so I think that we've shown over the last several years that we can work together. We all, for the most part, there's always going to be those things that they have to vote with the Democrats on, and we have to vote with the Republicans on. And I think we all accept that. But on the issues that we can work together and find some common ground, we've gotten really good at doing that.
Yeah, well, I wish you the best of luck with that. You know, Dennis, I was just thinking that for a lot of people who maybe countywide only know you as a county councilman, you served an administrative role in Fenton as mayor, right?
That's right. I was the mayor of Fenton for 12 years, and one of the cornerstones of my time as mayor was our focus on economic development. And economic development, for people who may not know it, is simply jobs. Bringing jobs to your community, keeping jobs in your community. When in 2006, the state of Missouri did a survey and found that the city of Fenton had more full-time jobs per resident than any city in the state of Missouri. We had 25,000 full-time jobs in a community of 4,000 people. That's a pretty big deal. And we did it by being simple. We made it easy for businesses to come in and do business with us. And we streamlined our permitting process. We kept our taxes low. We did all those things that everybody understands intrinsically need to be done to attract and retain businesses. And we did it. We executed on it, and we were successful doing it.
Now that you've thrown your name in the hat for county executive, anyone in particular at this point you'd like to see fill your council seat?
No, not really. I think that, for me to anoint somebody to replace me is probably premature. I think there are a lot of good folks that are out there who are serving in some capacity today. Who, you know, there are lots of mayors, lots of council members in my district who probably could do a very good job of representing the people of the district. So I would encourage that, those folks to let somebody know that you're interested.
Yeah, very true. Talking to Dennis Hancock, county councilman, who's going to be running for county executive. Talk about Prop B for a minute. I know Sam Page has been out there slamming it because it gives the council, if they're united on it, the ability to affect county departments, correct?
Yeah, what it really does is it lets us hold people accountable. For example, we have the county councilor who is in violation of the charter, has hired several outside law firms without coming to the council to get approval for it. And, you know, we get stuck with these bills.
Yes.
And so, but Dr. Page isn't holding her accountable for that. We had the public health director who violated the Sunshine Law by claiming there was no euthanasia plan. And then all of a sudden, when one is presented to her, says, "Oh yeah, I didn't. That wasn't what I was talking about." Well, when you violate the Sunshine Law, that's a serious thing. When you lie about it, that makes it even more serious. And so, you know, but Dr. Page has done nothing to hold her accountable.
Yeah.
So in instances like that, somebody has to be held accountable. And with what Proposition B does is it allows the council to hold them accountable if the county executive chooses not to.
Yeah, definitely a yes on Prop B. One last county executive question here, Dennis. Mm-hmm. There's a very good chance on April 8th, St. Louis is going to get a new mayor. Unlike Tashara Jones, Kara Spencer is, based on an article she did on NPR back in February, all in on the idea of a city-county merger, a sort of a new approach to better together, some sort of regional cooperation. Where do you stand on that whole thing?
I think that it's clear that the people of St. Louis County don't have any interest in that. I think we have much bigger problems to solve. I liken it to when you get on an airplane and they're giving you the safety spiel that, if when the masks fall down from the ceiling, put your own on before you try to help somebody else. We need to put our own mask on in St. Louis County before we start worrying about what we're going to do to help the city or help anybody else.
Very good. Dennis Hancock, we appreciate your time this morning. Congrats on your decision.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
Yep, we'll talk soon. But County Councilman Dennis Hancock there, running against Sam Page. If that guy gets reelected, I'm telling you, man, I will have officially lost all faith in the voters in St. Louis County. I know, like Kim, it was a good question to ask him about how the vote has turned in St. Mm-hmm. Louis County. It is a purple county. There's just no doubt about it. It's very difficult with the Democrat strongholds in Webster, Kirkwood, North County to get a Republican elected countywide these days. Mm-hmm. And he will face some challenges. However, Sam Page may be the perfect foil for that. He may be the perfect candidate to run against because so many Democrats are upset with some of what he's done, if they paid attention.
Well, you would think the logical person like yourself would say yes, but you think about what Sam Page did during the COVID pandemic era, shutting down all these businesses, shutting down churches. He was the first person to say, we need to make sure everyone stays home and masks up and blah, 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 blah. And people voted for him. So
again,
just when I think people will have logic, they don't.
It's true. Very true. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim next hour. Our buddy Griff Jenkins is going to be joining us, and he's covering all sorts of stuff these days, from the cleanup of immigration to some of these protests in Washington. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Kim on a Whim.
Did you know that tonight there's supposed to be a total lunar eclipse?
I did not. How did that sneak up on us?
I forgot to. I'd heard about this earlier in the week. And they call it the blood moon. So if you've heard that tossed around, that's what they're referring to. But it will be seen across North America, including St. Louis. worm moon, another phrase you may have heard thrown around. What's going to happen is the eclipse is supposed to begin just before 11 o'clock tonight. The technical time is 10:57 p.m. and it's going to kind of change overnight and end around 5 o'clock this morning. Tomorrow morning. So it says that there's the totality phase, which is when the moon takes on a reddish hue. That will happen supposedly between 1:26 and 2:31 a.m.
If you want to eat, if you either A, don't sleep, or you want to set an alarm, that's when you would want to get up. Are skies supposed to be clear tonight?
I think so. But this is what's funny about these things. You know, there's so much hype about, oh, it's an eclipse. And they're never anything that awesome. I know there have been a couple, and people who have traveled, you know, to see some of these things to the best spots, there have been some great images that I've seen on the internet. I'm not one of those people. And I remember the one that happened last summer. You know, we're watching it. We weren't in the totality. St. Louis wasn't in the line of totality or whatever they call it.
It was just south.
Right. And I know people who did travel. It was
awesome.
My
wife did, down near Bonterre. Yeah.
But we're sitting out there, and we have our little glasses on, and my husband and I are like, really? That was it? Like, it was just lame. And so I don't get hyped up about these things when they act like it's going to be so cool.
I'm with you. I got my glasses, and because I got off work late and couldn't leave early to go down to where the totality was, I sat out at the Crafty Chameleon out in Ellisville with a group of people drinking fine craft beer, watching it out there, and it was sort of a nothing burger here. I mean, you could tell it was happening. It got dark enough that the lights in the parking lot there at the Deerberg's Plaza came on at one point, and then they went back off pretty quickly because it dimmed just enough, but not clearly not totality.
Remember the northern lights you were able to kind of see not that long ago in St.
Louis? I've never seen them.
You really couldn't see it. I didn't even look outside. You couldn't see it from the naked eye, but if you used your phone, your camera, you were able to pick it up, which is very interesting. And they're talking about this lunar eclipse and saying that if you're just trying to use your iPhone, for example, because who would have an Android? If you're just trying... Carl, I'm talking to you. If you're just trying to use your... And Sue, if she's listening.
I have an iPhone.
I thought you had an Android.
Never.
Really?
I was one of the
first.
I'm
sorry, I hated on you for no reason.
It's all right.
If you're just trying to use your phone's camera, they're saying it's not really going to get you what you want. Like, it's just the sensor they're saying is small.
It
and
didn't work.
You know, it's not that great. So, don't plan on seeing anything too spectacular tonight. But if you're super into these lunar eclipse supposed sightings or whatever you want to call it.
How rare is this one? Does it say how often it happens?
Well, I don't know. I know it coincides with the March full moon, so I guess tonight the full moon.
Okay. Well, we might get to see it because we'll be driving in the morning.
I mean, it ends at 5, so we'll be actually on the air when this is ending. 5:02 tomorrow morning.
Try to get out of the car and look at it and not try to film it while I'm recording.
Just drive and hold your hand out the window.
What's that?
It should be behind you by then.
Yeah. I'll go out in the driveway and look in the morning before I leave just to see.
Can't wait for you to tell me that you saw absolutely nothing.
Who knows? You might. I'm not the kind of person who would probably ever set my alarm to get up and watch an asteroid shower or something like that or an eclipse of the moon. A lunar eclipse?
It says it's recommended you find a place facing the horizon in the southwestern sky where the moon will be visible if you're really into seeing this.
Behind you.
It will be behind me heading in east. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, well, it's something to look forward to then for people
if they want to look at it. Is it?
Well, I think it's unique. I mean, I'd love to know, is it one of those things that happens every 200 years and you're not going to see it again, then people may be more likely to get up and look at it. But
honestly, I think we have an eclipse like every 180 days.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Is it that often?
Yes, but normally we can't see it.
Well, thank goodness it's not Friday when all the storms are coming. So you'll at least have a chance to get out there and see it. But just think about it. The NCAA basketball tournament will have just wrapped up when this whole thing starts tonight at 11. That's what I hate about it. I can't watch my Kentucky Wildcats.
Oh, my gosh. Because
the game starts at 8:30.
That's a really late game.
I know.
It's probably because no one really cares about the game, so they put it really late.
Girl. Actually, it's the best game of the day, and that's why they put it last so people will watch the whole tournament to see it.
I'm pretty sure they put the highly anticipated games at prime time, like, I don't know, Mizzou at 6 o'clock versus Mississippi State.
Well, Kentucky's rated higher than Mizzou right now because we beat them last weekend. Mm. Remember?
I remember winning. I don't remember the rankings changing. When did you beat us? Was it Saturday?
Yeah. They changed. That's okay.
Came out was wrong. It wasn't just by a couple. Days. It's every 18 months there's an Oakland.
Okay. So you don't have to wait that long if you miss this one.
Right. So now we know. Anyway, Mizzou plays at 6. Kentucky plays about 8:30, which is very close to bedtime. We'll get to
Blues
watch
game.
All that. And there's a Blues game tonight, apparently. Carl keeps wanting me to mention. Sorry.
6 o'clock. I'll be watching.
Coming up, we're going to talk with our buddy Griff Jenkins. Plus, there's a couple of big events you need to know about coming up, not the least of which is St. Patrick's Day. There's a parade this weekend. There's one next Monday. We're going to cover all that for you before the end of the hour. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.